see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the third and final hour on this terrific Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Yesterday, I was not on the microphone. I was up in Sheboygan County Court with Judge Gauthier, my attorney. Tom Moran was there and his attorneys. The lawsuits involving Thomas Moran, Moran Ironworks, Randy Bishop, Your Defending Fathers radio show, and Michigan Broadcasters LLC, which is owned by Victoria Bishop, Randy Bishop's wife, cases have been amicably resolved to the satisfaction of all the parties. The details of the resolution are confidential. We are looking forward to moving forward from this matter. The lawsuits have been dropped. It's over. And I want to personally apologize to all of the people from the county of Sheboygan who appeared for jury duty. The courtroom was packed with individuals. And for that, I absolutely apologize for wasting your time. But the case, all the cases have been resolved and it's over. That statement written by our attorney, and he asked me to put it on the record during the show today. You'll never hear about it anymore going forward after today's show. I am upset with President Trump getting involved in our Republican gubernatorial primary process. But most importantly, I'm very upset with the president in his handling of Iran. First of all, he has set up his vice president, J.D. Vance, for failure. Donald Trump has already said that if the negotiations prove to be successful, President Trump's going to take credit for it. Then he jokingly turned and looked at J.D. Vance in the Oval Office during a press conference and said, but if it fails, I'm going to blame it all on J.D. Vance. That's exactly what he's going to do. Well, the pressure that's put on J.D. Vance has become even more evident because Marco Rubio, who had been previously part of the team, has now been noticeably absent. Marco Rubio is nowhere to be found with J.D. Vance's handling and negotiations of this memorandum of understanding, as well as this 60-day ceasefire period, which is allegedly going to lead to a permanent deal. Well, I've read this story before, this opinion piece. I'm going to read it again because I absolutely agree with Robert Chiron, who authored it back on May 27th, almost a month ago. I agree with it 100%, and I think our president, Donald Trump, is doing this for political reasons. He's looking at the upcoming primaries. He's looking at the November general election, the midterms, and he wants gas prices down. Period. The only reason he's doing it. He is not doing what should be done as a consequential leader for future generations. He's taking the political expediency of the situation in order to lower gas prices, which will lead to lower prices on everything we buy in the stores, and do it to save his political party, to maintain the majority in the House and the Senate, in the U.S. Congress, U.S. Senate, so he doesn't get impeached by the Democrats when they win in November.
This is Perry Johnson, the Trump conservative for governor. I'm an outsider businessman, not a career politician. I spent my life bringing quality and efficiency to over 60,000 companies. In fact, they call me the quality guru. My first priority as governor will be my mega audit, the Michigan Efficiency Government Audit, that will find the fraud in state government and Jocelyn Benson's election office and eliminate it. By implementing my mega audit, we will save the taxpayers millions and return it to you with my 4747 income tax elimination plan and property tax reform. My Perry Johnson 4747 plan will put $4,747 in your pocket every year. And seniors deserve a better deal on property taxes. This message paid for by Perry Johnson for governor. And I approve this message so that we can finally bring quality and efficiency to state government.
Perry's on a mission. He's here to stay. Perry Johnson's rising, gonna take a stand.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number three. This opinion piece written by Robert Chiron back on May 27, 2026. I don't know who this guy is, but I absolutely agree with this entire opinion piece titled Mr. President Donald J. Trump, Finish the Job in Iran. There are moments in history when nations are handed a choice that are so consequential that future generations will look back and ask a very simple question. When the threat was obvious and the opportunity existed to stop it permanently, did our leaders have the courage to finish the job? This is one of those moments. For nearly half a century, the world has lived under the shadow of the Iranian regime. Not the Iranian people. Not the Persian civilization. The people that gave humanity poetry, science, medicine, philosophy, architecture, mathematics, and culture long before most modern nations even existed. The problem has never been Iran itself. The problem has been the revolutionary extremist regime, the Islamist regime that seized Iran in 1979 and transformed one of the world's greatest civilizations into a central engine of global terrorism, regional destabilization, religious extremism, and anti-Western aggression. For 47 years, presidents, diplomats, intelligence agencies, military planners, and world leaders have all understood the same basic truth, even if many refuse to say it publicly. They realized that the regime in Tehran was never interested in coexistence. It was never interested in moderation. It was never interested in world peace, as the civilized world understands peace. The regime, Islamic extremists, was interested in survival, expansion, and the takeover and revolution of the world. Unlike so many Western leaders who speak in carefully crafted diplomatic language that often means very little, the Ayatollahs actually meant exactly what they said from the beginning. Quote, death to America, death to Israel. The politicians, the diplomats in the West, well, all they heard was slogans. The regime meant doctrine. That distinction has cost the world dearly. Over the last five decades, the regime has left a trail of blood and destruction across the Middle East and beyond. The Beirut barracks bombing, Khobar towers, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, their proxy militias in Iraq, in Syria, Lebanon, and other places around the world. Iran financed terror networks stretching across continents, attacks on shipping lanes, destabilization campaigns against moderate Arab governments, endless efforts to sabotage any possibility of even regional peace in the Middle East. Regional peace there has completely been shattered, and every single fire somehow led back to Tehran. And still, presidential administration after administration convinced itself that maybe this time would be different. Maybe another agreement would moderate them. Maybe another sanction package would pressure them. Maybe another release of frozen assets would buy their stability, their moderation. Finally, Maybe another round of negotiations would produce rational behavior from an irrational regime. History has answered that question over and over again. The regime uses negotiations as a delay tactic. It uses diplomacy as a cover. It takes the money, uses the sanction relief as a funding mechanism. It used every pause to rearm, regroup, and rebuild. Every time the world wanted peace, the regime saw an opportunity. This is why this moment in time matters so profoundly. Because if the United States is finally willing to confront the Iranian Islamic regime directly, then it must understand something that much of the foreign policy establishment still refuses to admit. This cannot merely be about uranium enrichment facilities or even reopening the Strait of Hormuz. If the Iranian regime survives, they will rebuild. That is exactly what ideological regimes do. History teaches this repeatedly. If you cannot negotiate fanaticism out of existence, you cannot, quote, manage revolutionary extremism forever. You cannot continue allowing the same regime that has spent the last 47 years destabilizing the world to remain in power and somehow expect a different outcome just 5 to 10 years from now. Folks, you know the uranium enrichment centrifuges? They are not the core problem. The regime that controls the centrifuges is the problem. You know their ballistic missiles? The missiles themselves are not the core problem. The ideology guiding the missiles is the problem. Reopening the Straits of Hormuz, that's not a core problem. It's the Iranian regime itself that is blocking, mining, and now wants to charge a toll for oil freighters. That's the problem. And there is where so much of the conversation in Washington becomes dangerously detached from reality. Too many analysts continue to approach Iran as though this is simply another geopolitical disagreement between nation states that can eventually be managed through a strategic equilibrium. It is not. This regime views conflict itself as their governing mechanism. External enemies justify their internal repression of their people. Regional chaos justifies military expansion. Permanent revolution, which is ultimately their goal worldwide, justifies permanent control. The regime needs conflict to survive, which is why merely degrading their capabilities, sinking all their Navy ships, taking out their army, taking out their planes, taking out their radar, without removing the regime itself, risks creating the worst possible outcome. Listen to what Robert Chernin says right here. A wounded but surviving revolutionary government will become even more radicalized, more desperate, and more determined than ever to acquire nuclear weapons at any cost. He goes on to say, we've seen this movie before. The world tried to contain North Korea. Well, now North Korea possesses nuclear weapons and openly threatens the world with them. The world repeatedly failed to confront gathering threats early in the 20th century. Because leaders convinced themselves that escalation could always be avoided through concessions, negotiations, peace agreements. History eventually buried that illusion under tens of millions of graves, mostly Jews, talking about Hitler. Well, Chernin goes on to say, weakness has consequences. Delays has consequences. Half measures have consequences. And sometimes the cost of failing to finish a conflict becomes infinitely greater than the cost of ending it decisively when the opportunity exists. That is exactly where we are right now today. What makes this moment even more significant is that Iran no longer exists merely as a regional threat. It has become a cornerstone of growing anti-Western axes involving China, Russia, North Korea, and various authoritarian and terror-aligned networks that increasingly cooperate economically, militarily, and strategically against any and all American interests and Western influence. China, in particular, understands exactly what is happening. Beijing does not need America to collapse militarily tomorrow. It simply needs America to gradually lose the will to lead. Every time the United States hesitates, projects uncertainty, or leaves conflicts unresolved, adversaries learn the same lesson. America no longer possesses the confidence to finish what it starts. Iran has become one of the most important strategic pieces on China's chessboard. Iran's oil helps fuel anti-Western alliances. Its geography provides enormous leverage. Its proxies create instability that drains Western attention and resources. Iran's aggression weakens confidence in American deterrence, which is precisely why removing this regime would send geopolitical shockwaves far beyond the Middle East. A free Iran would fundamentally alter the global balance of power around the world. And this is the part many people still fail to fully appreciate. The Iranian people, 90 million themselves, are not America's enemies. In fact, in many ways, they are among the greatest victims of this regime. Millions of Iranians have spent decades living under repression, censorship, corruption, brutality, economic devastation, and fear. Their women are beaten for refusing compliance. Students are put in prison, and protesters are openly executed in public. I'm going to finish this opinion piece by Robert Chernin. Mr. President, finish the job in Iran. Final segment of today's show. We'll be right back.